Yeah. Hip, hip, Mauritia. Oh, why, oh, why, oh, why. Oh, I hit it. Mauritia. Oh, why, oh, why, oh, Mauritia. Oh, why, oh, why. Yeah. Mauritia. Oh, why, oh, why, oh, Mauritia. Oh, why, oh.
I'm Tom Hoos from Earlton, New York, and I'm listening to WGXC Acra, New York.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network in sports. There are updates. And updates. There are numbers. And numbers. There are sorrows. In sorrow, there is redemption. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news.
This is Chris Funkhauser, host of Poet Radio, my Fall Pledge Drive show on Thursday, October 28th, 7 p.m. We'll feature recordings I've made of local legend Ed Sanders over the years. Tune in and please pledge your support for WGXC.
Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of FET Press in Hudson, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC Newsroom,
This is the WGXE Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXE.org for more information about anything you hear here. Nick Reisman is reporting for New York State of Politics that New Yorkers have adapted to the COVID-19 pandemic, according to a Siena College poll released October 21st. But at the same time, residents have become less optimistic that the worst of the crisis is fully in the past. The poll was conducted after a summertime spike in COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations as the more contagious Delta variant of COVID-19 spread. The majority of the most serious cases and deaths are among unvaccinated people. Public health experts have affirmed the vaccine offers strong protections. The poll found the majority of New Yorkers believe the worst of the pandemic is now over, but still many believe the worst is yet to come. New Yorkers have also learned to live with the virus. 78% reported thinking about protecting themselves and their family from the coronavirus as they go about their day. 91% are comfortable or very comfortable with going to a grocery store. 73% are comfortable with eating inside a restaurant. 61% are confident going to work at the job they had before the pandemic. And 57% feel safe attending a movie. Wearing a mask is now an accepted aspect of daily life for nearly all New Yorkers. 91% reported carrying a mask anytime they leave home. Read more about this story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com.
Chloe Callahan reports in the Times Union that there were 1,957 evictions in Putnam, Orange, Ulster, Dutchess, Columbia, Greene, and Sullivan counties in 2020, according to the New York Unified Court System. New York had an eviction moratorium because of the COVID-19 pandemic during much of the year. So the number was about a third of the 6,020 evictions in 2019. The eviction moratorium continues until at least January 15, 2022, but it appears that at least some evictions continued even with the moratorium in place. By mid-September this year, New York had distributed $399 million in rental assistance to tenants to give to landlords, and now Governor Kathy Hochul is asking the federal government for more help. But the moratorium and the federal aid for landlords did not help everyone. Justin Haynes, attorney in charge for legal services of the Hudson Valley's Dutchess County branch, said, and I quote, "We saw people who would come to us the day before they're about to be evicted by the sheriff. They didn't know anything about the ERAP program or their right to be protected from eviction. We would do emergency motions to stop eviction and give them time to apply for those kinds of programs," end quote. And the Hudson Valley's housing crisis, demand is soaring while supply is limited by climate change-fueled storm damage to buildings and spaces being used for short-term rentals instead of for people living locally, has made the situation worse. Haynes said, and I quote, "I don't think the average person understands how changed the rental and home sale market has been as a result of the pandemic. We've seen a tremendous impact of people moving out of New York City and to the Hudson Valley," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Melanie Lukosovic is reporting for Columbia Green Media that two people are vying for the town supervisor in the Claverick general election on November 2nd, beginning October 23rd. Democrat and Working Families candidate Kathleen Proper will face off against Republican and conservative incumbent Clifford Kippy Weigelt. Proper, 40, has lived in Columbia County her entire life. She is currently employed as the Chief Human Resources Officer for Canna Provisions, a cannabis dispensary in Lee, Massachusetts. Proper says the biggest issue in Claverack is a lack of planning and leadership, which could transform it into a town that works for all its residents, not just some. Quote, "Young people move away because they cannot afford to live here. Many people that live here commute a long distance to find good-paying jobs. Parents drive their children to the library to access the Wi-Fi because they do not have the broadband at home. Our town hall is scheduled to be demolished, and there is no plan for what will be built in its place," unquote, she said. Proper argues that she would make a good supervisor because she is honest, hardworking, and authentic. Quote, "When I set my mind to something, I don't let obstacles slow me down. I got my first job at the age of 12 and graduated from UAlbany debt-free at the age of 20, unquote, she said. Proper said she is looking forward to bringing a fresh perspective to Claverack town leadership if elected. Weigelt, 69, is also a lifelong resident of the county. He is the owner of Gromax, a manufacturer of bagged and bulk soils located in Claverick. He previously served as a member of the town board from 2003 to 2013. Weigelt said his top priority and the area of focus is the financial well-being of the town. Quote, it's so critically important, and it's an issue that is becoming more and more challenging as costs continue to rise. It's so important that any government live within its means and do everything possible to stretch every tax dollar as far as possible. We have a responsibility to do so, unquote, he said. Weigelt points out that town officials have cut taxes 5 years in a row, kept spending in check, and have employed smart financial planning to maintain the town's fiscal health. As for his accomplishments, he lists infrastructure improvements, equipment upgrades for the town highway department, shared services with the county and surrounding municipalities, improvements at the town parks, the development and implementation of a new employee handbook, the addition of a new time clock system, upgrades to security features at town buildings and the park, plus the consolidation of town operations. Weigelt said he is most proud of the plans to build a new town hall and community center. Read more about the story at HudsonValley360.com.
Rachel M. Cohen reports for New York Focus that few people pay for individual phone calls anymore. There are few street phone booths accepting quarters, and most phone conversations are now on cell phones. But prisoners still pay per call as much as $9.95 for a single 15-minute call in New York, where a 2019 report by the Prison Policy Initiative found that New York had the seventh highest average cost for an in-state jail call in the nation. Some legislators now want to make the calls free because of stories such as this. Vivette Dukes tried to call her husband at Sing Sing Correctional Facility every day. She recalled, and I quote, the goal was once in the morning, whenever else we could, end quote. She added, and I quote, I felt very alone with this. There aren't a lot of safe places to talk about the true impact of incarceration on family connection and how it really tries to rip up love. It was very expensive, end quote. She said amid tears, and I quote, at times I didn't eat lunch or I denied myself other things. The fees that I incurred were enough for me to take a second job, end quote. In Albany County, the local sheriff gets most of the revenue from the prisoner phone calls, and observers suggest the sheriff will not want to give up their revenue stream. Albany County Sheriff Craig Apple did not return a reporter's call for comment. So far, Governor Kathy Hochul has not said if she favors free phone calls for prisoners. Spokesperson Hazel Crampton Hayes said, and I quote, Governor Hochul is committed to improving justice and safety in jails, and we will review the legislation, end quote.
Sam Raldins is reporting for Columbia Green Media that the Columbia County Health and Human Services building on Columbia Street in Hudson will remain closed through October 25th after three positive COVID-19 exposures were reported earlier this week. The building was closed October 20th out of an abundance of caution and will reopen after the weekend following a thorough cleaning, County Board of Supervisors Chair Matt Morrell said. County Department of Health Director Jack Mabb said three building employees tested positive over last weekend. Approximately 150 people work in the building that houses the Departments of Health and Human Services, the Columbia County Mental Health Center, the Columbia County District Attorney's Office, and the Office for the Aging. Mabb said contact tracing was done and the few who were exposed to the positive cases have been vaccinated. Those vaccinated and exposed did not need to quarantine, he said. Read more about the story at HudsonValley360.com.
The Altamont Enterprise reports that two members of the Albany County Planning Board were slated to be removed from the board without their knowledge or any explanation. After they resigned to avoid being fired, no county official will say why they were forced out. Enzo Sophia, an engineer, and Dominic Ragosu, an architect who had acted as chair of the planning board, first learned about their removal when they were told by Albany County legislator Mark Grimm that there was an item on the October 12th meeting agenda picking their replacements. Members of the public later complained about their removal at a meeting, and several of the speakers from the Gilderland Coalition for Responsible Growth speculated that the dismissals had to do with a May 13, 2019 planning board vote against Pyramid's proposal to build a 222-unit apartment complex on Rapp Road near Crossgates Mall. Andrew Joyce, who chairs the legislature, said, and I quote, I'm the lead sponsor, and I can assure you that this action is not punishment for a vote that occurred in 2019. The two individuals that we're replacing on the planning board have resigned, end quote. But they only resigned because Joyce or someone else was having them removed. Joyce clearly had something to do with their removal, as he also said that, and I quote, a fresh perspective is needed, end quote, and that, and I quote, a diverse viewpoint from different parts of Albany County, end quote, is needed on the planning board. Matthew Peter, another Albany County legislator, claimed there had been, and I quote, numerous complaints, end quote, against the duo. He also said something about, and I quote, individuals have actually been completely unprofessional and stopped development and tried to overrule localities, end quote. Do the removed members have any idea why they were axed? Sophia said, and I quote, my guess is it's political. I'm a professional engineer for the past 35 years. He's an architect. We're technical people. We make decisions based on evidence, on technical knowledge, so the community doesn't suffer with problems such as traffic, such as drainage, end quote. Read more about this story in the Altamont Enterprise.
Rebecca F. Ward reports in the Times Union that New Yorkers have 60 days to comment on new rules that would allow medical cannabis patients to grow their own plants. Medical cannabis has been legal in New York for 7 years, and recreational cannabis use has been legal since April 1st this year. When the legislature legalized recreational cannabis, they also loosened rules for medical users. Currently, New York's 150,695 medical cannabis patients must purchase the drug from 10 state-licensed suppliers. Quote, the draft regulations clearly lay out a program that will allow limited home cultivation in a safe manner, preventing diversion and abuse, and allowing patients and caregivers who may be far from existing dispensaries the ability to manage their use, unquote, State Senator Diane Savino said. The public can now comment on the proposal to allow up to 3 mature and 3 immature plants per patient. The Cannabis Control Board announcing the public comment did not explain how the public could comment. Marijuana Regulation and Taxation Act that has passed this spring allowed limited home cultivation of medical cannabis as soon as the Office of Cannabis Management issues regulations governing it. The law says that was supposed to happen, quote, no later than 6 months after the effective date, unquote, of the law, which passed October 1st. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Also, the New York Post reported on October 19th that Albany's Labor Department issued a new guidance banning employers from testing employees for cannabis unless the worker seems visibly impaired on the job. Cannabis will be treated in the same way that alcohol is in New York State, and employers can ban workers from possessing cannabis on the job site.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Friday, partly sunny with a high near 63 degrees. Friday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 42. And on Saturday, a slight chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 55 degrees. And Saturday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 39 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
You have tuned into all sorts of creative community voices on the radio Friday, October 22nd, including at 10 a.m. It's time to head to Rock and Roll High School for a 10th anniversary pledge drive edition. You can do your part at wgxc.org/donate. At noon after the local news, Jared Wiggishute is in live in Hudson with the Sugar Shack Jukebox playing all sorts of new R&B, soul, funk, rock, reggae, and more until 2 p.m. when it's time for the Data Cult audio show, Luke Killen is the featured artist today. We hear brand new music from Yvette Janine Jackson at 3 p.m. on the New Music Review. Then at 4 p.m. on the WGXC Afternoon Show, Julia Jorn talks with local horticulturalist Lisa Taranto in Phoenicia. Then we head to Catskill at 6 p.m. We're live with the teens on Clubhouse Radio, telling their stories and playing their songs from 6 to 7 p.m. when it's time for Teens in Hudson to take over. Bound by Books is the show where they talk about what they've been reading lately. And then stay tuned until 10 p.m. tonight when it's time for the Friday Night Vibe Session. Shivar Thomas is live from the basement of the WGXC studio in the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street in Hudson and on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
There are all sorts of events on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org. You can even add your own by clicking on the Add an Event button and hear your event being read on the radio or seen around the world in the community calendar at WGXC.org. And there are several Halloween-themed events there, too, including Saturday, October 30th. There are trick-or-treating possibilities for youth in the area, both at the Museum of Firefighting on Harry Howard Avenue from 10:30 a.m. to noon, and also at Art O' My from 1 to 3 p.m., that's out in Ghent on Route 22. Find out more about this trick-or-treating on Saturday, October 30th on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
This is the sound of Radio Wonderland, the Saturday morning show made completely out of radio. I'm Joshua, and I'm the host. I'm not the host. The show is just me slicing up at the radio stations. The show has no host. You're the host. You're the host. Listeners like you make this station possible, where art, news, and voices of the local community are all in the mix. See if you can give a little bit regularly, like $5 a month, about 17 cents a day, which is a cup of coffee. If you have a time machine, knowing the money is coming in is the only way to stop fund drives. Go to WGXC.org/donate or call 518-697-7400 and keep community radio alive.
When you gotta save, you gotta go to Moe's.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts Sunday there could be patchy frost in the morning, then increasing clouds during the day with a high of just 52, a low around 43 Sunday night with a 90% chance of rain, mainly after 10 p.m. The rain is predicted to continue Monday, 80% chance, with a chance of showers after 11 a.m., high of just 54 on Monday, and a low around 48 with a 90% chance of rain Monday night, too. On Tuesday, there's an 80% chance of rain, showers after 8 a.m. with a high of just 53 and a low around 47. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, heard weekday mornings here at 8 o'clock on WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC is hosting its pledge drive, and we need your support. Help keep hands-on creative community radio alive in your region by calling 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. Or you can pledge online with your tax-deductible pledge at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Scout of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXE as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Audio radio. 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 Audio radio.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books, youth radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Georgia, and I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from near Hudson, and I'm moving to Massachusetts.
And I'm Emily, the real director of the Hudson Area Library. Just because you're moving, you can't be the director if you move. That's not really
That's
how
not
it
true.
Works. But
I'll only be like 35 minutes away, so ha.
Well, I'm like half a block away, so I win.
I went from being 15 minutes away to 35. Not too big of a difference.
Not too bad. But either way, Massachusetts or Hudson, we're here every week talking
about
books.
Books we love, books we hate. And
bookish things.
So, Emily, I have a question for you. What would I do if I was completely alone on a Bound by Books meet?
I hope that if nobody else could make it except for you, that you would talk about books and bookish things.
But how would I get into the meeting?
Magic. We'd make it happen. Or you could record a voice memo and send it to me.
Or Bound by Books would be canceled for the week, and you could just fill the slot with 40 minutes of cheesy music.
Only cheesy music.
Yes, like
nothing
elevator
else.
Music.
What does that sound like? Can you sing some for me?
Or it,
oh,
not
I like
that.
It.
That isn't necessarily cheesy, but just something cheesy.
Like
elevator
like
music. And then occasionally there'd be some, like, cringy music. Like, I'm sorry all Justin Bieber fans, but Justin Bieber's just not my thing.
So it's going to be like, dee 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 doo boop boop doop doo. And then Justin Bieber.
I'm sorry to all Justin Bieber fans, but I kind of hate Justin Bieber. The Bieber fever. Some fans might say that that's a good thing, but I think that the Bieber fever is a fatal disease.
I hope you don't get it.
I never have. Luckily, I'm not like a lot of other people who have fallen into the death trap disease. In 2010, there is a Bieber fever pandemic, and it's coming back again.
Well, it's a good thing that our wonderful community radio station, WGXC, prioritizes making space for community radio and youth radio shows like Bound by Books, where we talk about books instead of playing cringy and cheesy music.
Though to all Justin Bieber fans, no offense to you. Mm-hmm. I understand why somebody could like him. Well, yeah. Honestly, I don't. I understand that everybody has different music tastes, so.
I occasionally like a Bieber song. I don't have Bieber fever, but I also occasionally like elevator music, so, you know.
Same with the elevator music. With the Justin Bieber songs, I like the songs, but, like, I don't like his voice. I find his voice very annoying. Also, in the tone that he sings it in, like, I like the kids' bop versions, but I don't like the originals.
I have a question. How come you said no offense to Bieber fans, but not no offense to elevator music fans?
Oh, sorry. Well, I actually kind of like elevator music. I do like elevator music, so.
I mean, that song that you made up on the spot was pretty great.
I actually kind of liked it, so. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Anyways, while we're talking about radio content, good or bad, we want to remind all of the radio listeners out there that we are in the middle of a pledge drive for WGXE, and we're looking to raise the necessary funds to keep WGXE on the air and broadcasting eclectic music and shows and conversations and news, very local focused, but also worldly.
Because if you don't, us kids will be out of our jobs.
Your non-paying jobs, just to clarify. Because programmers aren't paid for their radio content. We do this out of the goodness of our hearts. They should be. Well, maybe sometime you will have a commercial radio show. But community radio, we just do it for the love of community and books and people.
Actually, I think that, oh, by the way, you guys, pledge online at wgxc.org/donate, or if you want, you can pledge by phone at 518-697-7400.
So our goal this month is to sign up 2 new monthly sustaining supporters by the end of the month, by Halloween.
Well, I guess that you'll get one. Because I am going to ask if I can sign up.
Yay! Do you know what a sustaining supporter is?
Yes. Delta. What are they? Ever!
It's someone that signs up to give a certain amount every month. Yep. And they can give whatever amount they want. So we're trying to find at least 2 people out there listening who will become monthly sustaining supporters in honor of Bound by Books or whatever show you like on WGXE or just the station as a whole by the end of the month. And you can give any amount you want. You give $5 a month, which comes out to $60 for a year, which isn't too bad. Or you can give more. You can give 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, so on.
2 million.
2 million a month.
I think that by that time, WGXE would be an empire.
Yes. I think George is going to give 2 million a month.
Cha-ching. I'm just kidding.
I think child labor laws would keep that from happening. Maybe by that point, there won't be child labor laws and it'll all be chaos. But you'll get $2 million. But yeah, so we hope people will join us in pledging, becoming monthly sustaining supporters.
Get paid. I'm just kidding. No. Sadly, that's not going to happen. But I'm a 10-year-old. I don't really money.
She'll be okay.
Yeah. So donate to the radio, people.
How do they do that?
You go to wgxc.org/donate to pledge online. If you want to pledge by phone, you have to dial 518-697-7400.
And it's such a nice, easy, convenient way to donate. Where you don't have to think, did I give this year already? Because you're giving every month and it's just automatic. It just comes out of your bank account. You set it up that way. We also do welcome one-time donations if you just prefer to give that way. There's no reason you can't give just a solid donation just once in a while. But we are hoping to get some sustaining supporters. And if there's anyone out there listening who is a sustaining supporter who wants to maybe increase their donation every month, maybe this is a good time to do it. We're celebrating 10 years of WGXC. being on the air and 10 years of Bound by Books. And so maybe you would consider increasing your monthly donation.
I wonder if Bound by Books is older than me. What day did Bound by Books start? What month?
Well, that is up for debate. Because the show that eventually became Bound by Books first broadcast on February 28th, 2011. But so, the first show where we said that we were Bound by Books, like we used the name Bound by Books, was June 6th, 2011.
I think that the first one counts. So I am older than Bound by Books.
Cool.
So, take that, Bound by Books. I'm just kidding.
And I've been hosting Bound by Books longer than I've been the library director. I started working at the library around the same time that Bound by Books started.
But how did
I wasn't the director just yet.
How did you get on the radio?
I met some of the folks early on who were planning to launch the radio station. So I met Tom and Galen and Kaya and a bunch of other volunteers, Christina and Alan and Richard, Sam, so many people who were involved in getting the radio station up and running. And before the launch of the station, there were a lot of community workshops and planning. And so I was helping out with those workshops because before I was a librarian, I worked training young people how to make media, both radio and video. So it was like a nice fit for me. And then the fact that I love talking about books and eventually wanted to become a librarian, Bound by Books was a good fit for me. And my co-host Quinn, who I launched the show with, she also loved talking about books. So at first we were just talking in general about whatever we wanted, but we realized almost every show we were talking about books. So then we decided to make it a book show. Where is Quinn now? I believe Quinn is still out on the West Coast. I can't remember if they were moving recently or just traveling. And I can't remember if they graduated college yet, but they're older now because they were, I think, 10 when they started the show. So they're probably 20 now, 20 or 21.
So I have an idea.
Uh-huh.
What about like sometime soon, like maybe even on February 28th? I know that's not soon, but I just can't wait. What if we like prepare and then do a whole radio show talking about the history of Bound by Books?
That would be fun.
Or we could even like do it in the next few ones just to relate to the pledge drive.
Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of the history.
Yeah, we could just like have an entire show talk about it.
The only trick is that I have almost every episode of Bound by Books. I have almost every episode, like a recording of it. And then there's some that our listeners can actually access on the archive. So if you go to WGXC.org, you can listen to past shows. You go to the audio archives, you can search for Bound by Books and find all sorts of different shows from the past. But I do have some gaps. There's like a brief period in 2017 where the archives, I think, shifted. And so we lost the archives and I didn't have a backup. And somewhere in that like 2 month period where I lost it is when Mashuda and Fahim started. So I don't have an exact date for when they started. But I think all of our other regular hosts, I have their first show date.
What about Fatia?
Fatia started in July of 2020.
Oh.
And you started in January of this year.
Yes, I did. So I will talk about my book now. My book is called Rocks and Minerals. Kind of a generic title. It's by...
But very descriptive. You know immediately what the book's about.
It's by... I have no idea who this is by. It says DK Smithsonian Nature Guide. So on the cover, it has a picture of my birthstone, which is awesome. My birthstone is amethyst. If you were wondering, because I'm February birthday. So pretty much in here, there are mostly rocks, but there are also gems. So some of these are really cool. What would you like to read? I'll read one little thing. I'm just going to go to a random page. What do I read about? I feel like I just saw diamond. Diamond. Okay, I'll read about diamonds. So, here's the picture. For radio listeners who cannot see this, It's a picture of a rock with a itsy bitsy crystal wedged into it. So, diamond in a matrix. An octahedral diamond crystal rests in the kimberlite matrix in which it was found. Yellowish octahedral crystal, adamantine luster, rocks matrix. Diamond. The hardest known material, diamond is pure carbon. Its crystals typically occur as octahedrons and cubes with rounded edges and slightly convex faces. Crystals may be transparent, translucent, or opaque. They range from colorless to black, with brown and yellow being the most common colors. Other forms include bore or bower, irregular or granular black diamond, and carbonado, microcrystalline masses. Colorless gemstones are most often used in jewelry. Most diamonds come from two rare volcanic rocks, laprite and kimberlite. The diamonds crystallize in Earth's mantle, generally more than 95 miles deep, and are formed up to Earth's surface through volcanism. Diamonds are also found in sediment deposited by rivers or melted glaciers. Variants are carbonado, bore diamond, or pink diamond. For radio listeners, I am so sorry. I did not realize how much that would be for a radio listener to take in, so I'm sorry.
And our radio listeners don't get the cool pictures, which is like, with those DK books, they always have like really interactive information, like good pictures, good captions, easy to like take in information. I like them. I don't have that one, I don't think. Maybe the library has it. We definitely have books on rocks and minerals, but
it's this.
Whether it's that exact one, I don't know.
It's a very good book. I'd rate it a 75 out of 100.
That's a decent grade.
So I'm in the process of writing and drawing my own comic.
Oh, cool. What's it about?
Doing May before. So for radio listeners, I will read the title and description. Is a work in progress. So I will read it when I'm finished, but I'll just give a little sneak peek. The Super Villains by Georgia Jassy. The description is, can they defeat the darkness before it captures them all? B, Kat, Eliza, and Krisha are in a female superhero squad, the FSS. And then there's a little skeleton symbol. Soon the skeleton symbol, an FFS skeleton symbol, shows. A darkness is consuming members of the FSS. When Kat gets consumed, B, Eliza, and Krisha have to act fast. This is not a drill.
Can I see a picture that I can describe to our listeners? Or yeah. Is the art not ready?
So would you like to see the title picture or some of the actual comics?
Whichever you prefer.
I'll show the title art.
I haven't seen much of your artwork. I've seen, that's really nice. I remember you showed me one drawing once, but this is very unique. I like the person. There's a person with a braid and glasses, and they have a shirt that says Lab Rat.
So this is Eliza, the one in pigtails. Mm-hmm. She is a gymnast. That is Krisha. She is a scientist.
A Lab Rat.
Yeah. That's B, and she's obsessed with tech, so she designs a lot of drones and does most of the spying. And then this is Kat, that's why she has a villain mask. But this is Kat, and she also likes tech, but not as much as B. Kat does most of the communicating and organizing, so she's kind of like there. The rest of them are all very important, but the problem is it's hard to function without Kat because she's like the glue that bonds them all together. It's like making slime. You add the glue, the shaving cream, but it's just not right. You need the saline solution to bond it. That's pretty much same with this. Oh, right, the food coloring. So yeah, you need the saline solution, and Kat is the saline solution. And so they need to figure out what to do, because if you have no glue that holds the group together or organizes things, the group it's just a whole big mess. So far, I've gotten 10 pages done. Let me check. 9.5.
I like your artwork.
Thank you. All of the drawings are black and white.
Mm-hmm. Is it going to remain that way, or are you thinking of adding color?
I don't like to add color. Like to draw in just black and white. And then I use pencil for shading, but I'm more of a pen person. I only like to use pencils for shading, or if I'm trying to replicate different shades of colors, like on shirts, or like freckles, or skin tones. Because, like, I usually like to do kind of, for the skin, I usually just leave it blank. I just like to sometimes go in and add the pencil if I want to, like, add a little more color. Okay. Because imagine if in real life everybody's skin was paint white, like super white, like ghost white. Imagine if we were all ghosts.
Imagine. Oh, speaking of ghosts,
we Halloween. Have
yeah, Halloween's coming up, but also every year the library hosts a fundraising event called the Ghostly Gallop. That's a 5K race. The Ghostly Gallop 5K is free for kids. So anyone 17 and under that wants to participate in the Ghostly Gallop 5K can sign up and participate for free. And it's a virtual race this year because of COVID concerns.
Well, you race have a big,
there's prizes. There's some various prizes. And if you dress up in a costume, you can enter the costume contest.
Is it a running race?
It's a running race, but you can also walk the race.
How do you do a running race online?
You don't. The idea, usually it's an in-person race and everybody does the same course. There's a 5K race and then there's a kids 1 mile race. But this year, because of COVID, we decided to do it virtually again. We did it virtually last year too. And so basically it's just on a trust system where people that register run a 5K of their choosing. So they can go anywhere they want and run a 5K as long as they do it safely, because we want people to be safe.
And then they time it.
And then they time it and they submit their time. And if they're dressed up in a costume, they take a selfie or get someone to take their picture and submit that for a costume contest.
I'm going to be Olivia Rodrigo for Halloween.
Oh, yeah? So not a ghost.
I'm going to cover my face with stickers, which is going to be fun.
Yay. Well, anyway, so to find out about the Ghostly Gallop, you can go to ghostlygallop.info. But we also have another contest that you might be interested in.
What is it?
And this one is specifically for kids. So it's for people 18 and under, and there's different age groups. And we are having a book-themed art contest. So the idea is that you draw a picture. You can paint it. You can use colored pencils, crayons, whatever you want, whatever medium. You create a piece of art on paper, and you submit it to the library. And then we're going to judge all the entries and choose some to win prizes, and we're going to put them up in the library. And then a select number of the entries are going to be featured in a 2022 calendar that we're going to put out. And the reason it's a book-themed contest is because we're encouraging people to do artwork that's inspired in some way by a book. So it can be as like specific or abstract as they want. Like you could be like, this is how I feel after reading Ferdinand the Bull.
I have a question. What if it's artwork inspired off of your own story?
The rules just say inspired by a book of your choosing. So if you're inspired by a book that you created, I guess it would depend on if the thing that you're getting inspiration by, you consider a book.
It's a book. So I can like do artwork from my own.
I guess I would say that's not quite a book yet because it's not done. Well, if anyone is interested, if either you are a kid listening or if you are an adult who is a parent or guardian or friend of a kid who you think would like to enter this contest, you can find the info on our website, hudsonarealibrary.org. And the submissions are due by the end of the month, by October 31st. So you have until Halloween to run your 5K. To enter.
I'm warning you guys. I'm warning you. I'm just kidding. You guys are good. Do great. I'm probably gonna only enter the art contest, but I believe in you guys. You can win the art contest. Even if I lose, I'll be fine with it. Because you radio listeners deserve it.
I just want to see some great art. And I'm curious to see what books serve as the inspiration for all the art. I wasn't sure what book I wanted to talk about this week because I'm in the middle of a book that I can't really talk about without spoiling it because it's the second book. It's a sequel to a book that I love and I wouldn't want to spoil for anyone. The first book is Aristotle and Dante Discover the Secrets of the Universe. It's a book for teens and it's a beautiful book. And it came out about 10 years ago, give or take a couple years. And the sequel just came out, I think last week or the week before, and it's called Aristotle and Dante Dive into the Waters of the World. But if I say anything about it, I feel like it'll be a spoiler. But it's very good so far. I like visiting with these characters again. And I'm listening to the audiobook, which is read by Lin-Manuel Miranda, who's a very good reader.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Mr. Hamilton.
And
imagine. He was reading it in Hamilton's voice.
Or singing it in Hamilton's voice. It'd be interesting.
Yes.
But alas, he is not. And then another book I'm reading right now for the library's nonfiction book club is called An Indigenous People's History of the United States by Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz. And I know that there's a youth version of this too, which I know that Georgia likes reading an occasional youth version of a nonfiction book.
That one?
Not this one. I don't think you've read that one, but I know that you've on occasion read books like that.
I read the youth version of Howard Zinn's. That one was really good.
Yeah, so I think this one's sort of like in the style of that, where it's like, you know, kind of looking at the history of our country from a different perspective. So I'll read the description of the youth version, which is just An Indigenous People's History of the United States for Young People. And it was adapted by Debbie Reese and Jean Mendoza from Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz's original. And here's the description. Spanning more than 400 years, this classic bottom-up history examines the legacy of Indigenous peoples' resistance, resilience, and steadfast fight against imperialism. Going beyond the story of America as a country discovered, that's in quotes, discovered by a few brave men in the New World, again, in quotes. Indigenous human rights advocate Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz reveals the roles that settler colonialism and policies of American Indian genocide played in forming our national identity. The original academic text is fully adapted by renowned curriculum experts Debbie Reese and Jean Mendoza for middle grade and young adult readers to include discussion topics, archival images, original maps, recommendations for further reading, and other materials to encourage students, teachers, and general readers to think critically about their own place in history.
I love this. I'm gonna read this.
Yeah, I've wanted to read it for a long time, so I was glad that our book club chose that. It inspires me to finally get around to it. There's so many books to read. Sometimes you need a little nudge, you know.
You know what I think you should do, Emily?
What's that?
So doesn't your book list have like 200 books?
My book list, like my to-read list? Oh, I don't even know. It's probably way more than that.
You should probably go and just narrow it down, like just summarize and narrow down all the ones from 10 years ago and just get up to like this year. That might do you some good.
Anyways, we're just about out of time for today. We're going to remind our radio listeners that we want WGXC to stay on the airwaves, and we're pretty sure our listeners out there do as well. So we are hoping that everyone out there will call in or go on the website and make a donation to WGXC. Ideally, become a sustaining supporter or consider increasing your sustaining support during this pledge drive. But if not, you can also make a donation online. And you go to wgxc.org/donate or you call 518-697-7400. Tell Lynn that Found by Books sent you.
If my mom calls, I'll call with my mom and then I'll say, hey, Found by Books member here.
Yay. But yeah, our goal this month is to get at least 2 monthly sustaining supporters to sign up by the end of the month or to increase their sustaining support. So listeners out there, make our dreams come true. It'll help cure my Bieber fever if you make a pledge to WGXC. So we're just about out of time for today. But thank you to everyone for listening. And we hope you all have a great week with lots of quality reading time. We'll be back next week to talk about some more books and to encourage you to pledge in support of WGXC. Until then, happy reading.
And you are listening.
You're listening to 90.7. WGXC Acra. Catskills. Today, East Durham. Catskills.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
The film festival, Film Columbia 2021, begins today, October 22nd, running through to October 31st. Film Columbia is back for its 21st season with 40 films from around the world being shown at the Crandall Theater in Chatham, New York, from October 22nd to October 31st. I'm Andrea Cunliffe from Hudson Mohawk Magazine, talking with Lisa Thomas just before the showing of her film on this opening day of the film festival. I'm with Lisa Thomas in front of the
historic Crandall Theater in Chatham, New York.
Because this is the Columbia Film Festival, and congratulations, lady.
Thank you. This is our third festival in 3 weeks.
Wow, and what happened in the other festivals?
We were in San Francisco and at the Adirondack Film Festival showing this short that we did last year called Candy Store, which is a Dust Bowl Fairies music novella, and we took home the prize of the other two festival for Best Music Video.
And the name of the video?
Candy Store.
And tell me about why we're here in Chatham.
It's the opening day of Film Columbia, Columbia County's premier film festival that they have every fall.
And you have been a winner now?
They don't have awards at Film Columbia. They don't believe in it.
Oh.
So I was here a few years back, 5 years ago, with Thirsty, a musical that even Andrea knows a little something about a Cher impersonator named Thirsty Burlington.
So it's good to see you. You're excited. You're happy. This is a wonderful way to start the film festival. What have you got in the future?
Well, we got some submissions with Candy Store and some other films that we're making at Vintage Films, and we're doing all kinds of fairy-inspired events.
And here we are, and who's here but Ryder? Ryder, say hello.
Oh, hello.
Another hello.
that's the lead fairy of the Dust Bowl Fairies named Ryder Cooley.
And there you are on the screen.
Yeah, any minute now. It's about to start. We're still waiting for one fairy, the Rocket Fairy, John B. Wooden, to show up. So it's all, like, down to the wire here. They said they're going to do a few announcements before the film starts. So.
Yeah, there's a few fairies of the Dust Bowl Fairies. They might appear. They might just fly right in.
Wouldn't that be exciting? I'll be looking for them. Okay, wait,
all
I've
right.
got 2 minutes, so we got...
All right, so I'm going to tell you...
I can grab people that I can find.
I'm going to tell you a little bit about what's going on. So, you know, the Dust Bowl Fairies, I credit a lot to them, because prior to working with Ryder Cooley and her fairies, you know, I was largely a producer in indie film and largely in animation. But Ryder was the first person to kind of come to me and said, hey, you know, I have this concept. It was a video. The very first video I did with them is called Sirens. And she's like, I want you to direct it. And, you know, no one prior to that had ever asked me to direct. And now I've since done five different videos for them. Candy Store, which is here at Film Columbia today, is the latest in that series of projects. But, you know, she was the first person to actually have me direct. And now I've gone on to direct a few other things. So in many respects, I thank Ryder for giving me the first opportunity to do it.
Well, I think we're all looking forward to seeing the film. I've had a glimpse of it on the, you can get it off the web. It's wonderful to see you, Lisa. You look radiant, and it's a brilliant day today, and congratulations on being one of the great selections here at the film festival.
Yeah, I think Candy Store